Thank you for joining us here at LWCCBP. Today you're going to be hearing a message from the awesome ministers that we have here on staff. We pray that God blesses you and ministers to your heart.
I want to share a little bit on a single-purposed arrow. We come out of conference, to me it seems not long ago, and you know, as you know, the theme being God's arrows, and it seems that everything that I'm looking into biblically on a daily basis, I'm running into arrows, all types of different arrows and purposes of the arrows, and I'm really garnering and gaining some understanding about what it is to be a true arrow. The single-purpose arrow out of 2 Kings chapter 13. We're going to read verses 14 and 19, a very familiar portion of scripture for some of us. Reads like this: "And Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, 'Oh, my father,'" this was Joash's pastor, "'the chariots of Israel and their horsemen.' And Elisha said to him, 'Take a bow and some arrows.' So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, 'Put your hand on the bow.' So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, 'Open the east window,' and he opened it. Then Elisha said, 'Shoot,' and he shot. And he said, 'The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have,'" this is the instruction here, I want you to remember this, "'till you have destroyed them.' Then he said, 'Take the arrows.' So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, 'Strike the ground.'" Hit the ground with the arrows. So he struck the ground three times, and he stopped. The man of God was angry. New King James, the King James said he was wroth. That means he was really upset with this guy. He says, "And the man of God was angry with him and said, 'You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times.'" I read something that says the primary task for arrows is to simply be arrows. That is our primary task, simply to be arrows, to surrender to the hand of the warrior to whom they belong. See, we understand that an arrow is meant to hit, and we've been hearing a lot of this, meant to hit its designated target, a target that is purposed by God. And I'm learning something as an arrow, rather large arrow. I'm learning something that arrows must be dedicated to the quiver initially. There is a quiver, and we've heard about this, where the arrows are stored and prepared and readied until that day when they will be launched. And the arrow must be dedicated to the quiver as well as to the master archer, especially while in the quiver. An arrow is not just something you should shoot in the air. I remember going to New Mexico to do some ministry, and I went to a city called Gallup. And my son was younger, so I bought him a little Indian head bonnet and a little bow and arrow, you know, but the bow and arrow with the rubber tips. And I got it to him. He was excited, and he put the bonnet on. He got the arrows. He was around, you know, and he began to, it was kind of irritating because he had two or three arrows with the rubber tips, and he began to shoot them everywhere. And he shot me a couple of times, but actually there was no pain to it. It was just a nuisance. You know, he was licking him and shooting him at the TV, and, you know, there was little pop marks everywhere, you know. And you know, it was cute, but that's not the kind of arrow I want to be. I don't want to be an arrow that's a plaything and takes pot shots and really inflicts no damage whatsoever. It was just an irritation. He would hit me. I wouldn't yell. I'd go like, I just brush it up. Okay, shoot it somewhere else. It made no difference to me. It was a toy. But we have to understand this morning, and I know you do, a lot of what I'm going to say may be repetitive. I get it. But sometimes we need things hammered into our souls and into our spirits to understand what God is saying to you and I. An arrow is a weapon of war. It is a weapon of war. It is a weapon of aggression. It is a weapon used against an enemy. It is an arrow. It has a single purpose, to hit a target, a designated target, to inflict damage and death to that enemy. The arrows we have usually heard of are, like I said, inanimate objects. I get that. You get an arrow. We've had examples. They have no life of their own. Okay? It's merely an example of what God has called us to be. But we, as God's arrows, have a life of our own. We have a calling and a divine purpose. And we have to come to grips with an understanding as that arrow. We have to come to understanding and embrace and understand that we are called and we have a divine purpose. I don't know what yours is. I know what mine is. I know what me and my wife are, you know, but you have to discover that for yourself. But you have to be a faithful arrow. You have to be a single purpose and single-minded arrow. We have a decision to make this morning. Not only this morning, I think every day. We have a decision to make whether we will be weapons of righteousness or unrighteousness. Weapons of action or weapons of inaction. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to remain in the archer's quiver in preparation? I am. I understand that I do have some experience. I've been to a couple of places. But I have no problem being in the quiver because I know it is a safe place. That as I am in that quiver, God is mindful of me. God is working with me. God is preparing me. He's not forgotten me. He has a designated time and place and target for me. And it behooves me to understand that so when the time comes, I don't get fired amiss and hit the wrong target or go in the wrong direction or be like this rubber-tipped arrow and inflict no damage whatsoever. Romans 6:13 speaks of not yielding or surrendering ourselves as instruments. You look up that word, weapons of unrighteousness. How many know that we can be weapons of unrighteousness also? We can damage the kingdom of God. We can damage people. We can damage our families, our congregation. You need to understand that it's important that in the singleness of your heart, being purposed as an arrow, you are part of that quiver that is being prepared to extend and build the kingdom of God, to touch the lives of people, to touch the lives of people that you encounter on a daily basis, whether it's your family or a stranger or somebody at work. In verse 14 of Romans chapter 6, it says, but yield yourselves or surrender yourselves. A lot of God's people aren't surrendered. Let me say something to you, and don't get mad at me, but if you do, it's okay. Many of God's people have figured that because they're in church and they give God a couple of hours that they're surrendered, nowhere close to the truth. It says, yield or surrender yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. I'm alive from the dead. I was dead, alienated from God, no purpose, no direction, no hope in this world. I was alienated as those that are alive from the dead and as members or instruments, weapons of righteousness, become weapons of righteousness. Do what is right. I know it's not easy. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking of being, you know, all the time on top of things. I get it. Life happens. But I'm talking about constantly being mindful of it and making effort to correct what you need to correct, to be of single mind, to go in the direction that God would have you and I to go in. Because understand this, to whoever or whatever you yield yourselves to, you become its slave. How many know, and I'll just leave it at this, in the world, we were slaves to many things. And why were we slaves to so many things? Because we yielded ourselves willingly to destructive and corrosive and awful and terrible things in our lives. And I have to think to myself, Rudy, now that you're saved, now that you're alive from the dead, what is so difficult about yielding yourself to life, to hope, to God's blessing, to the salvation that he has showered upon you, to the mercy and grace? What is so difficult about that? In our text in verse 14, Elisha, who was Joash's pastor, literally, he was ill. The Bible says it was the illness that he was going to diaphragm. And he would soon die. And he shared this with Joash. And Joash wept. Oh, my father, my father. He wept. But Elisha did not coddle Joash, even in that moment. Even in that moment of his near departure, because he knew something, he understood something that Joash hadn't come to understand yet, but he was leaving him with something. He was leaving him with a purpose and a calling to accomplish what God had called him to do. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. He's a warrior, he has them available. And he took unto him bow and arrows. Take bow and arrows. So Joash gets the bows and the arrows. He says, now put your hands on the bow. Okay? You get the picture? And he did. Okay? I think today there's a lot of people with their hands on the bow, but not sure what they're gonna launch or what they're gonna fire. He said, put your hands on the bow, and he did. And Elisha, again his pastor, came behind him and put his hands over his hands. So here's Jonathan, come here. Do the bow stance. Okay. Not dance, stance, that way. Okay. So Elisha comes, and he goes. And what he's showing them in that, go ahead. I'm behind you. What he's showing them, this is a purpose of God. I'm leaving you with something. I'm anointing you as a warrior in warfare. I'm anointing you. And Elisha, before his departure, was going to give a clear picture and instruction on Joash's purpose. God wants us to have a clear picture of our purpose. We have to muddle through all the junk and all the rubbish and all the stinking thinking. How many know what I'm talking about? All the stuff. And muddle through it and break through it and crash through it and not allow life circumstances or the lies of the devil to deviate us or to divert us from the purposes of God in our life. No matter what I am feeling, if I don't feel good today, that makes no never mind. The purpose of God in my life doesn't change with my feelings. It is a determined purpose. I am to have a single heart because God has a single heart towards you and I. He has a single purpose for you and I. And it does not change. He said, I am the Lord God. I do not change. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing changes. The only change that I want to see in my life is a change in character, a change in integrity. I pray every day, God, if there's something I need to change and I'm being foolish about it or negligent, I'm going to show me what I need to change. And then you're such a good God as you show me, help me to change it. Help me to have and develop an awareness of your presence in every circumstance, especially in those times that I need to change and I need to do something different and I need to be patient in the quiver. So verse 17, he instructs him. How many know that you and I need to be teachable? There's some of y'all here. Don't move, don't blink or anything, because they don't know who you are. You don't like nobody to tell you nothing. Ain't can't tell you no nothing. Friends can't tell you, family, pastors can't tell you. He only a man. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't say yeah, because they don't know who you are. Gotta be teachable. Have to have a heart for what God is doing. We have to have a heart for the people that God has placed over us. I was reading in 1 Samuel, I believe it was chapter 13, where the people of God demanded a king. They wanted to be like everybody else. I don't need no other king because I don't need to be like everybody else. I was already like everybody else. Can you say amen? So they chose Saul. Saul was big, tall, buff dude, man. And, you know, they anointed him king, and it looked like he was going to do good. And they came to a time of battle, and they were to meet with his pastor, Samuel, to do a sacrifice before meeting the Philistines. He's supposed to wait 7 days, and Samuel was late. So you know what he did? You know what Saul did? He took upon him and offered the sacrifice to God, took the position that was not his position to operate in, obviously did not know the heart of Samuel, did not understand the heart of his pastor, and did it his way. And we read later that Samuel came and he says, I did it because when he started making excuses why he did what he did, he says kind of like, I knew you'd want me to do this. Because actually, if you look at it, it was kind of the right thing to do in the sense of offering a sacrifice, but not by him. And right in that spot, you know what Samuel told him? God is looking for man after the heart of God. And in reading that, you realize that it wasn't Saul. Settling in. So he instructed him to open the windows eastward. Eastward was in direction of the enemy. It was a very significant direction. It was like my son firing those rubber tip arrows. He was firing them everywhere. He had no purpose other than to hit something and irritate somebody. That's it. And I understand. I mean, you know, he was a kid. I get it. Ha, ha, ha. But I reflect on that because I don't want to be that kid. I don't want to be firing off and firing in the wrong direction. And see, the direction was significant. It was in the direction of the enemy. And he says, shoot! Good man that Joash was, he shot. Shooting the arrow was a declaration of war. When he fired it eastward, he was having Joash, I declare war on the enemies of God. Okay, yay, we're at war. Going to take care of business. And he tells them, the arrow that you fired, I believe this is you and I, this is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The arrow of deliverance from Syria. You and I are called to be arrows of the Lord's deliverance, maybe not in Syria, but in Santa Ana, in Buena Park, in East LA, Boyle Heights, La Puente. I don't know where you come from. I come from Alhambra. Well, I live in Alhambra. I'm not from Alhambra. Never heard of it when I was a kid. Amen. But God has called us not just to be arrows. And obviously a designated target. But to be arrows of the Lord's deliverance. The arrows of deliverance to our families, to our communities, to our cities, in our marriages, to the nations. He's telling Joash, listen, this is very significant in the destruction, the total destruction and deliverance from Syria. Syria was some bad dudes. They were no joke. They came to kill, steal, and destroy. They were no joke. But you have to understand here, the anointing was upon him. But Joash, as you and I do, played an important role in it. He says, take the arrow. Joash took them, and Elisha said, smite the ground. Hit the ground. And Joash, and I'm not saying he wasn't a good man, but obviously he missed something. Because God was talking about destroying and deliverance from Syria. And you know what he did? You feel that? Hit the ground with the arrows. There was a significance in it. But it seems that Joash did not understand the significance and the arrows and the blows that God had called him to deliver to Syria. The Bible says that his pastor was angry. Wrath. Wrath means he was, to say angry. I have another word, but I won't use it over the pulpit. He was wrath. Even though he was ill and near death, he was wroth. He was angry. It was like, what are you doing? Laid opportunity at your feet, at your doorstep, to destroy your enemies, that thing which is you've been battling with. You should have smitten 5 or 6 times, or at least until you were tired. Two extra. Another one. Three more. Okay. You know? Like, make sure. You know, you ever see them old monster movies? Huh? You know, he's killing everybody. He's chasing one or two people, and he's rah, rah, and they shoot him, and they cut him with a machete, and they set him on fire and everything. And he falls down, and I'm thinking, he's going to get up. He go get up, chop off his feet, chop off his hands, his head. He won't get up, and then you know they stop and talk. Oh, that was, and you know in the background you see the guy. I told you. I know it's just a movie, but I told you. I know where I came from. They'd have chopped that dude up big time till they would hit him till they were tired. You know. I'm yelling, grab a baseball bat, grab a baseball bat. Go for the cacanazo. But they never do it. You should have smitten 5 or 6 times, and then you would have consumed Syria. In other words, then you would have experienced complete victory. I don't know. Maybe it was a lack of understanding on Joash's part. Or maybe he was complacent. You know, a lot of God's people are complacent. They're kicked back. I understand we got to live a life. I get it. There's things we do. I got a couple of programs I like to watch. But, you know, I'm retired now, so I'm really filtering through my time and figuring out. You know, I got prayer and stuff in the morning, but I can't. I got to, throughout the day, you know, I go outside with my plants and pray a little bit and read some scriptures, come back, watch my war movie, then, you know, do some errands, and then, you know, like that. It's all an adjustment to me. But I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to kick back. I don't want to have the attitude, well, I'm in church, so everything should be all right. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in church this morning that things ain't all right and ain't going to be all right. Church doesn't guarantee anything. And I've said this a million times. Just because I go to McDonald's doesn't make me a cheeseburger. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And just because we're in church, we have to be involved and what God is calling us to do. We have to be single-minded and single-purposed. See, Joash put in a limited effort. How many of us, me or you, are putting in limited effort but expecting a great outcome? Are you understanding what I'm saying? I remember working with the kids. They would tell me this. What do you want to do? Oh, I want to get a good paying job. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, man, I want to drive a Beamer. And I want to make $40 an hour. And, you know, I want to buy a house. And I would tell them not to rain on your parade. But sort of, to rain on your parade. You're in school here. You're 120 credits behind. You don't do your work. You come late every day. How are you going to reach a place of maximum production or blessing with limited effort? What are you tripping on? What are you thinking about? You're 19 years old and you're still in the 10th grade, behind 120 credits. So you think that the way you operate in school, you're going to get a good job for $40 an hour, and you're going to show up every day and work hard? And they would put their head down and tell me, I'm not trying to put you down, dude, but listen to what I'm telling you. You cannot, look at me, you cannot overcome overwhelming difficulties. And we do have them, don't we? Sometimes we feel they're overwhelming. They're not overwhelming for God. But sometimes we have circumstances that feel overwhelming. We cannot overcome them with limited effort. If you're not praying, you're not in your word, if you're not of single mind and purpose, I got news for you. There's not a whole lot that might change. And again, I don't want to rain on your parade. I'm not trying to be negative. But we need to understand that our relationship with God, our teachability, our responses to the Word of God is so critical. And if we're putting in limited effort, we need to stop. I'm almost done. His pastor tells him, Joash, if you would have struck, if you would have only struck 5 or 6 times, you would have totally consumed Syria, dude. He couldn't do a read. Oh, for reals? Oh, okay. He had the opportunity. And he says, because you did not, you didn't. Because you put forth limited effort, you will have the victory. You will smite the Syrians 3 times. And you see, as you read on, that Joash would only experience partial or temporary victory because the Syrians came back to bite him after those 3 victories. Let me get ready to close. We might be doing okay today, and we feel like we're in a good place, and thank God for that. But don't allow yourself to be complacent. You may be garnering, gaining victories, but that's not all God has for you. There is an ultimate victory. As purpose and single-hearted arrows to hit a designated target and to come away with total and complete victory once and for all. Ending up in a place where there is no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. Well, he was saying, and I like to say, enter in, ye good and faithful arrow. You hit your target, son. God calls us and wants us to act with determination and finality. Don't be double-minded. Don't stagger at the promises of God. Don't be double-minded. God wants us to act with determination, with singleness of heart. How many remember, and don't go too far back, but back in the day. Okay, don't stay there too long now. Come on, real quick. You know, we used to do stuff, right? And we were stubborn. We had a singleness of heart. We did what we wanted to do, and you can't tell me nothing. You can't make me stop. Nobody tells me what to do. You remember? You remember. That has to change. I don't know about you, but I want my pastor, I want my pastora to speak into our lives. You know? If there's something like, hey, Rudy, you know, and I like Pastor Ruben because I've never been like loudly or rudely scolded. Pastor has a way of scolding you with a lot of love, and you don't even know you've been scolded. Until about 3 hours later, you sit there and you think, oh, my God. Stupid, eh? Not him, me. I remember years ago, we were planning some churches, and I was in a panic, you know. My first response is panic, then I calm down, word of God, and then I chill out. I don't know about you guys. You guys are probably steadfast all the way through. But I go through my process. Pastor, blah, blah, blah. I don't do this anymore. I grew up. I work things out, prayer, and if I have to, ultimately, I ask for prayer in a certain direction. but this and that and this and that. You know what he told me? Tell me something, Pastor. And I'm thinking, he's going to put his hands on me and say, thus saith the Lord, my son. I have seen you in your travail and your faithfulness. And I, right now, at this very moment, I'm opening up the windows of heaven and pouring you out such a blessing that even your brothers and sisters in the Lord have not experienced. Because you are a man of God. You are a son of God. And I love you unconditionally. I love you the bestest. You know what he told me? He looked like that. He looked at me and goes, Rudy, the main thing is, don't panic. Chill out. Have a cup of coffee. And I walked away like... Is that a, thus saith the Lord? Or is that just, you know, give me something? I didn't say that, but I just, oh, okay, okay. Okay, and it was like, wow. I went home and sat down, and it clicked. I said, the Lord was saying, chill out, dude. Don't panic. And it clicked. It was the soundest advice that I could get for the moment. Are we okay? See, as I close, things that are not dealt with or dealt a final blow may come back to haunt us. There are things in our lives, things in your lives that today you need to deal a final blow. Whether it's, I don't know what it is, unforgiveness, things you're struggling with, certain temptations, I don't know. Anger. Holding grudges, I don't know. The past. This morning we need to deal, or at least start the process of dealing a final blow, because they may come back to haunt us. Now there's a choice this morning of submitting to God as that single and purposed arrow, as a weapon of righteousness, or not. You and I have a designated target, and God wants to use you and I not just to hit it, to smash into it and crush it, to do things that you thought you could never do. I've been places. I never thought in a million years that God could use me in some of these places. It's such a, God has some designated plans for many of you. Let's hit the mark. Let's be single and purposed arrows. Let's not be complacent. If you come out of a much travail and trauma, sister, brother, start striking a blow, man, as never before. In prayer, in the word, making a stand, having done all to stand there for. Never giving up and never quitting. Because we are the arrows. Let's stand.